Yeah, I'm good. I have dog and color plants. I'm going to check in a nice big plant. I'm going to do it. To your roof, yeah. Just because you go in on the peninsula.
Gloria was supposed to take our pictures tonight for something. That's what I heard. I don't know.
Ray's out of balance.
I know.
That was a tip.
You have a big shift. Good evening and welcome to the Grover Beach City Council meeting for March 17th, 2003. First thing we'll do is an invocation. It's going to be led by Pastor Jose Rivera, excuse me, from the Five Cities Vineyard Church. Is Jose here?
Okay.
It's going to be led by our Honorable Gil De La Rosa. And if everybody will stand and we'll do the invocation.
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and do the business at Grover Beach. Lord, we love our community, and we love our leaders, Lord, and we pray a blessing on them and their families and the direction they need to take us. Father, we pray as people come and speak that everyone can be heard, and Father, we pray that we would choose our words correctly and in a way that we are heard. Again, Lord, there's much to be done here to improve our community. And Father, we pray that we move at a good pace. Help us to continue to be progressive and help us, Father, to just to encourage one another. And Lord, again, we do want to at this time just...
Tyler's going to do our flag salute for us. And Tyler is a sixth grade student at Grover Heights Elementary School. He is the student council president. He is the 2002 Geography B championship champion. So he knows we're racking around and all those things are, right? Wish I did. He is an honor roll student, is active in many sports, and he is a real friendly individual according to his teachers and the principal at the school. Tyler, would you please turn toward the flag and lead us in the flag salute? We'll follow you.
Of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And stay up here just a minute, Tyler. We've got a little presentation for you. Something that the wall showing you, showing everybody that you were here and did a great job. And this is some good stuff, but you know where to go to get some gadgets.
Of course, you didn't have a microphone when I said that.
Thank you, Donna. Keep that candy coming. Can I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Redfall?
Here.
Councilmember Lieberman?
Here.
Councilmember Schultz?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Santos?
Here.
Mayor Arneson?
Here. We have some closed session announcements. On Monday, March 3rd, 2003, after meeting in closed session regarding public employee performance evaluation pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, the employee city manager, the council reconvened into public session. No reportable action was taken in closed session, and the city council meeting was adjourned. And also on Monday, March 10th, 2003, after meeting in closed session regarding public employee performance evaluation pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, employee city manager, the closed session reconvened into public session. No reportable action was taken in closed session, and the city council meeting was adjourned. Now we have a ceremonial calendar. The first proclamation I'm going to read is for the... A declaration for Absolutely Incredible Kids Day.
Go, Vanna, go.
Like I said, Steve, you're so much better than this than I am.
But you're more fun, Ron.
I feel like Vanna White up here. Where's my cheat sheet? Lisa Hensley, can you come on up here? Lisa's with Account Fire Council. Fire Council of the Central Coast has issued a call to action asking every adult in America to write a letter of love and support to a child on March 20th, 2003, and whereas the Camp 4 Council of the Central Coast has established the goal that every child receive a letter on March 20th, 2003, and whereas the Camp 4 Council of the Central Coast in the city of Grover Beach teaches boys and girls to become caring, confident, young future leaders. And whereas through contemporary programs on speaking out on issues affecting youth and their families, the Camp Fire Council of the Central Coast helps youth cope with their challenging world. And whereas in the Camp Fire Council of the Central Coast, the choices and opportunities are inclusive to boys and girls. And whereas the Camp Fire Council of the Central Coast is recommended is commended for the valuable programs offered to young people, in Grover Beach, California, and throughout the nation, and for many services these young people perform in their community through Campfire. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the members of the Grover Beach City Council do hereby officially proclaim March 20th, 2003, to be Absolutely Incredible Kid Day in the city of Grover Beach. Declare the children of Grover Beach as absolutely incredible kids and urge all residents to recognize them accordingly on March 20th, 2003. Thank you. I'll let you accept that. Do you have anything you would like to say?
We both have something we'd like to say.
All right.
You can come closer with the camera if you'd like.
That's okay.
Okay.
We are in the fourth grade and are members of the Cyril Lysta Campfire Club. It is a pleasure to accept your proclamation declaring March 20th Absolutely Incredible Kid Day. Please hang these posters in city offices reminding all staff to write letters to Incredible Kids Day, Incredible Kids Day Now.
That's okay, thanks.
Here's stationery so you can write a letter to an incredible kid. You can mail it, put it in a backpack, lunch pail, or even leave it on a pillow. We would like to present you with a sticker to wear on Absolutely Incredible Kid Day to help promote our special day. We thank you for declaring March 20th Absolutely Incredible Kid Day.
Awesome job. You guys did great. Really good job. Thank you. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for the stickers. Our next proclamation is a proclamation of the city of Grover Beach in the support of a Red Cross Month. And Jeannie Nix was going to be here, and so was Ben Hall, who's the chairman or chairperson of Red
Ben
Cross.
Hall from the...
Jeannie Nix isn't here. I don't see Jeannie or...
Jeannie is not here.
Okay. Well, we'll do this proclamation anyway. This proclamation of the Grover Beach City Council in support of designating the month of March as Red Cross Month. Whereas the American Red Cross is a humanitarian organization led by volunteers since 1917, providing disaster relief to victims and wildfires, floods, and hazardous materials incidents, disaster preparedness, education, emergency services, services and communication to the military and their families, CPR and first aid training and volunteer opportunities with youth involvement to the city citizens of this county, and whereas American Red Cross volunteers stand poised and respond to local, national, and international emergencies should the need arise. Those who are victims of disaster are military personnel of family members or or those looking to prepare for the unexpected. Rely on the San Luis Obispo County American Red Cross, compassionate and caring people who want to make a difference in San Luis Obispo County and across the nation. Channel their support through the American Red Cross. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the members of the Grover Beach City Council, do hereby proclaim March 2000 as American Red Cross Month. As we celebrate American Red Cross Month, we call upon all citizens of Grover Beach to prepare partners in preparedness with their local Red Cross chapter and to become active participants in advancing the noble mission of Red Cross. Do you want to speak?
I'll say a couple words.
Thank you. Thanks, I appreciate it.
Okay, Merrill Arnoldson, members of council, thank you for on part of the board for the San Luis Obispo chapter, our staff, and over 500 volunteers. I thank you for recognizing Red Cross. I think it's a great organization. It just happens to be the only nonprofit that's recognized in that the recent home defense program that the national government is working on. And like I said, we're working on preparing American families to deal with their own personal disasters and disasters overall. On that note, the Red Cross locally addressed over 53 family emergencies this year. They put on over 1,700 classes and trained over 15,000 participants this past year. So we're hoping to train and focus on preparing America this next year. So, but thank you for this time and for staff for preparing this document.
And thank you, Steve, for microphone 101. Appreciate that. We have an informational video regarding the provisional staffing of the Grover Beach Fire Department at this time. Is that ready? Or
actually, due to technical difficulties, it's not going to be ready for this council meeting, but we'll have it available hopefully for the next meeting.
Okay. At this time, public communication is any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communication. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items not on the agenda. Is there anyone that would like to speak? Please come forward and state your name. Chuck.
Your goals and harmonious interaction amongst all of you and city staff. Goals are good things to have if you can afford them. The problem is many feel goals are like New Year's resolutions to be broken knowing that they can be renewed in the following year. Sometimes some feel that they are smoke screens, that they're covering up ongoing problems before, so they do not reach the citizens. It's hard not to notice in our streets in disarray and wonder why. I find several of your goals to be quite interesting, especially in regard to the police litigation. For instance, in a recent memorandum from the city clerk to the city manager dated January 30th of this year, comments by individual council members regarding their goals were mentioned. Councilman Lieberman stated, "We need to address legal personnel expenses with integrity and then move on. The amount of dollars spent on legal fees could have been used towards streets and purchasing a fire engine." In that same memo, Mayor Arnoldson is putting forth the settling the police department issues and resolving the Miller accusations as part of his goals. On another document that came up during the goal project, it was listed as the list of the legal department for 2003. The following was noted. Personally, I didn't even know we had a legal department in our city, but I guess that must be a new division under the city manager's jurisdiction there. Their number one short-term goal is the resolution of Miller's termination process. This is encouraging if it is not a prelude to an extensive lawsuit. Listed as their number one accomplishment is the new hearing officer on Miller by preventing starting over, which would jeopardize the city's position and waste costs already occurred. I think that statement is somewhat of a reach. It is yet to be determined by both sides as the contingency of the hearings. The money was wasted due to the elongation and extraneous nature of the hearings, and it's hoped any future matter doesn't compound the cost. Finally, our city attorney had some short-term goals and objectives for the city council workshop, and I find his number two one especially interesting. His second goal is to the extent possible, obtain prompt conclusion of Todd Miller's appeal of his termination. If you note on the timeline that I'm going to give you, there have been 11 closed-door sessions of city council meetings, including this evening's, since the abrupt ending of the illegally conducted Miller hearings last May. None of them had included either Miller or his attorney in their presence. Yet the city's costs keep going on. Our interim city attorney, Martin Kozanowicz, from July to November of last year, received over $9,600 for personnel legal expenses involving the personnel hearings. It most likely didn't include extraneous costs like travel time, per diem, and so forth. During the same period, the city's labor attorney received $9,500. And these are only two individuals that have been involved in this ongoing hearing process during the lull of the hearings. And there are many more, where there's obviously paychecks going out to the hearing officer, transcribers, couriers, city staff, city officials, and others. If ending this elongated litigation is a top priority goal, then we need to be talking to Miller and his attorney and not just amongst ourselves. Regardless of the outcome of any decision by the city manager and the hearing officer, there's still two more appeals in this hearing.
Police officer's Bill of Rights, too. And I don't know what you're talking about as far as an illegally conducted Miller hearings.
The initial hearings were brought to a halt because the gentleman, our city attorney at the time, should not have been presiding over the hearings as the hearing officer.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. Anybody else that would like to speak?
I want a yellow one.
Want a brown, blue one?
Sure, you want to try it? No, it's too
many. Maybe the black sheep there.
Public comment. Please state your name for the record, please.
My name is David Della Torre. I live at 725 Highland here in Grover Beach. Yes, I'm not a good public speaker, so if I trip over my words,
you'll just sound like the rest of us. Right. No big deal.
Well, I know this is an old issue. It's the streets. Well, some of you guys came to my door campaigning. I talked to you guys on the street. When you were campaigning, you told me if I had any concerns to speak up, that you would be here to listen. I don't do this every week, but I'm here. I need help.
Good.
Back in January, I submitted a claim to the city on the 900 block of 4th Street. There's some potholes there. I drive that street daily. At all costs, I avoid those potholes. I don't purposely run over them. I mean, I got photos here if you guys want to see some. But 4th Street is a narrow street. It's a highly used street, and it's an industrial street. There's times when I'm going down 4th Street, oncoming traffic is a big delivery truck. Well, I run over the potholes, not deliberately. I'm forced to move to the side of the road. Bam, I hit those potholes. I've got pictures here if you want to see the potholes. This has been going on for time and time and time. Well, my vehicle sustained damages. Got an estimate, turned it in, denied. Make a long story short, I was told, don't run over the potholes. If you guys would like to see the pictures.
Sure.
These were taken on January 22nd. Now, these are the potholes I dodge daily.
Thank you, sir.
When it rains, the potholes flood, and therefore they become, camouflaged. You know, they're filled up with water. They don't look like a pothole. Bam, you ran over them. Me as a taxpayer, a homeowner, I pay my taxes. I vote. I'm a small voice in a big city. I'm just one person at this time asking for help. I was denied. I got my claim here from my mechanic, the shop. If you guys want to see the estimate, if you want to see it, you wish to see it. Council?
Bring it up. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really crying about or really complaining about the amount of money right here. It's just the principle behind it where someone tells me, well, don't run over them. And this individual that told me this doesn't even live in Grover Beach. He lives in San Luis Obispo. I know I can go on this for another 20, 30 minutes. We've heard it before. I really don't want to pound on it any further. Mayor, Council, I'm asking for help. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joe, did you want your pictures?
Well, this street has been slated for reconstruction, but the funding we have is not has been kind of pulled away. I think, didn't we have STIP money for this? Is that what you refresh our memory? Is it STIP or?
It's in the state plan. It's right. Been put off. I think it'd be more appropriate, though, to explain that the administrative process has not been exhausted in this case, so it would be inappropriate for any of us to comment on it till that process is concluded.
Hey, I was just, mentioning the street. I mean, it's not like we didn't have a plan for it, and we were looking at that street, is all I'm saying. Okay, thank you. Any other public comment?
Before we leave, are the potholes still there? We can talk about that.
It may be some out there right now that have reoccurred, but we've been out there just about every time we go out to the potholes.
Those particular potholes at the side of the street are going to resurface every time there's a rain because they get washed out. I've walked that street several times on the way to Oceano, and it's rough. There's no doubt about it.
The only point was we're trying to stay up on them.
Right.
So that's
thank you. Thank you. Any more public communication? Seeing none, we'll come back to the agenda, and we'll deal with our consent agenda. Items 4, 5, and 6 will be followed, will be taken routinely as a group. If no one has any wish to pull them off for separate consideration or for discussion, they have the Treasurer's Report of February 27th and March 12th. They have the minutes of the regular meeting and a special meeting of February 3rd and February 18th, and an update of capital improvement projects would be item 6.
Seeing that it appears no one wants to pull anything, I'd like to make a motion that we adopt consent agenda items 4, 5, and 6.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. May we have all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Same sign. Motion passes. Public hearings. We have no public hearings. We'll move into regular business. Item number 7, request for exemption from low-income loan refinance subordination requirements. And our staff report will be taken care of by Susan Zelchek, our assistant community development director. Susan?
Thank you, Mayor Arnoldson.
Thank you.
Mr. and Mrs. Mayorga entered into a low-income loan with the city back in 1998. He completely amortizes the loan over the term of the loan. Excuse me. Completely amortizes the loan over the term of the loan, and such term does not exceed 30 years, and has a fixed rate of interest for the entire term. 2, at the time of refinancing, the person or family, which is the owner of the residence being financed, continues to qualify as low income under the state guidelines for determining low income persons or families. At this time, as part of the refinancing, at least 50% of the original loan amount of the second deed of trust is to be prepaid to the city. So at this time, the Mayorgas are trying to refinance their first loan. and we're reviewing it for them, reviewing this policy related to it. The applicants meet the criteria established in item 1A through C, but not items 2 and 3. Specifically, the Mayorga's income exceeds the affordable income limits, and they're not interested, or they've stated that they do not wish to prepay the 50% of the second deed to the city. The Mayorga's would like to be considered for an exemption from these requirements. And after reviewing this criteria, there's several alternatives. Staff's recommendation is that the City Council deny this request for an exemption. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Anybody have any questions?
I had one. Just historically, this has come up before. What was the results of the previous applicant that asked to have it?
Well, if they still qualify with the income levels and they prepay at least 50%, they can proceed with subordination. We have done other subordinations.
But we have done this in the past. I mean, people have refinanced.
Yes.
I
don't. Yes, and they follow through with the requirements of this policy.
Okay. But there hasn't been any exemptions at any time.
No, sir.
Thank you.
No one else has any questions? This is a regular business item. If anyone in the public would like to speak on this item, please come forward. Go ahead. Please state your name and address for the record.
Okay.
Come on up to the podium.
Yeah, my English is not good enough, but I want to do my best. So I'm the person they're talking about. I live in that place, and I got this paper from you when did it in 1998 when I got into the place. And so I don't know if you want to see this place and see. It's like we got a forgiveness if we stay in the house for 30 years. And that's what I'm thinking. If I could, I don't understand so much, but if I go and refinance, I'm not selling the property. I'm not leasing the property or renting the property. I'm staying at the same place, and I don't know if you can review this paper and see, and you let me know exactly what it is. Because what I think is, I think I have the right to. I'm staying in the house. Or what I just want to take advantage of the low interest that are right now, and see if I can save me like $100 or $150 a month.
Martin, did you want to respond to that, or?
The only thing in 2001, interestingly enough, the policy, as I understand it, was adopted in order to make it easier for the applicants to refinance so they wouldn't have to pay off the 100%, which the city consists of being in a second position, and was decreased to only a 50% payoff of the second. This is just a policy. The council does have the power, should it wish to do so, to make an exemption to the policy. However, the policy was set forth as explained by Susan in the resolution that was adopted at that time.
Are there any questions of the applicant, Dave?
That was my point for asking if we had any exemptions in the past. And the answer is no. But if you were going to just refinance your existing loan and not draw any money out, just drop the interest rate, does that still trigger the requirement to pay off 50% of it? If you don't take any money out, if you just drop the interest rate and retain the same amount of a first and our second at a lower rate.
As stated, the policy provides that any refinancing would engage these requirements. One of the requirements that Susan pointed out to the council is the fact that in order to continue to qualify for this loan, at the time of refinancing, the applicant should maintain or should still be within the low-income provisions. And it is my understanding, at least based on the information that was provided by the bank, that is no longer the case.
But I guess my point is that if he didn't want to pull a lot of, the house has doubled in value at least, I'm sure. And so there's a lot of equity there. But if he didn't want to incur a larger first loan, he just wanted to drop the rate, where's the harm?
The loan, as I understand it at least, the loan was simply to refi. It wasn't the applicant's intention to pull any money out. However, there's approximately $5,000-$6,000 in costs and fees that would have been added into the loan, increasing the original amount. Again, this is a policy. Council has the power to grant an exception from the policy, and that is why I think the applicant.
But I mean, if you want to take another $100,000 out of it and double his first, then it makes our second much more subordinate. But
that is correct.
But I thought maybe there isn't a lot of difference if he is just trying to take advantage of a lower interest rate. We'd all like to do that, but I don't see how that harms our position.
That seems like an awful lot to just to refinance.
The original loan, if I could add, was just over $37,000, so it wasn't a huge loan, and it does come across as if he's being penalized for doing better, for making good. But I
yeah, and don't include it in the, you know, in the in the total
the
amount in the loan, yeah.
There's a $4,000 increase in the amount of the loan. Again, the original policy or the original position by the city before the resolution was passed in 2001 is that any resubordination would be subject to 100% repayment, basically. The council, in an attempt to lessen the burden on the applicants and the homeowners in 2001, reduced that to a 50% repayment as a policy. So the trend, if you will, was to make it easier for the homeowners to do a refi and to take advantage of a lower rate. But the policy as stated right now provides, as was explained by Susan, but you have the power, should you decide to do that, to grant an exception.
How would that hurt us if he's willing to pay the $4,000 out of pocket to get this?
There would be no change in city's position on the second if there is no increase in the first.
So I remember in the past, this last time this came up, remember they wanted to pull a lot of money out of their
and make improvements
and you know, double almost the first trust deed on it, take a lot of money out. And we're saying, well, now, if you're going to do that, then the city's housing element should get some of that profit, because the point was to have this for low-cost housing, and we could reuse that money somewhere else for another person to help benefit. But in this case, he's not trying to pull any money out. He's just trying to drop the rate. And I don't understand if that goes out of the low-cost housing loan program and into a regular loan with a different bank, if that triggers anything with us? Or
the only policy restriction that was put on in 2001 was that the applicant remained, at the time of the refinance, within the definition of a low-income family. And that was, again, a policy that was set by council. Refinancing with the bank that he's currently with does not have an effect on that in and of itself. The restriction was put on by the council.
So he's being penalized for doing better on his job or getting a better job or something. If you lose your job, you could do this maybe. But
a couple of questions.
That's an interesting twist, I think.
John?
Yeah. Susan, just let me get clarification. What staff evaluated this request on is the criteria and policy in place right now.
We evaluated whether he was consistent with the criteria established in 2001. Yes.
Okay. It sounds like we're talking about a policy, a change in policy, if we want to go down this road. It sounds like this is an unintended consequence of the program. I don't know, Mr. Mayorga?
Mm-hmm. For helping certain folks in those income categories. And if it's no longer needed, perhaps this shouldn't apply. I mean, that.
No, that's a good point.
Well, no. There's nobody that can buy a house in that same housing development now that would meet the criteria. I mean, the prices have just gone up so high that I'll bet they would never. By doing that, you'd say they could never sell it because no one could buy into it and still meet the low income criteria and be able to afford it.
They could refinance and pay off the city and move forward. They could sell their house.
Certainly. Plus, the criteria would change on low income.
Well, no, if it's a 300.
They would earn a profit, though. If the house potentially was, I don't know, 100,000, 200,000 when they first purchased it, and now it's over 400,000, they've made a pretty handsome.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying about if he was going to sell his house, mm-hmm. and you're saying that whoever buys it or whoever lives there has to qualify as a low-income resident, they won't be able to buy his house. It's, I don't know, they're 300,000, 400,000,
I don't know.
Is so high now, I don't know, but everything in
but all the figures have changed. Low income would be different than what it was 5 years ago.
But it hasn't
comparatively
to the housing cost.
Yeah, in our housing workshop, I think Mike Bird said with rough numbers, the median income here is $37,000. That would qualify you for a $186,000 mm-hmm. residence. Mm-hmm. I wanted to.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yes. Susan, what's the amount, the 50%? What's the 50% of the second? What's the value
of that?
Is it
18? There you go.
Yeah, I think the intent when we discussed this, obviously we hadn't looked at this because the homeowners that were there and were really active about looking for some help from the city were going to take equity out. But on the flip side, I think there was a long discussion, and the minutes may prove me wrong, but I think we had a decent discussion on the importance of taking that 50% of the second and putting it back into a fund to help someone else. And I think that was some of our intent. Instead of pushing it off with 100%, leaving it with a 30-year loan, was to make 50% of those funds available to help another family establish themselves in our community. And it's a tough call right now because I see the value of doing that. But then there's the levity of David's argument where, you know, it's going to take more than $16,000 to help someone get into a home. So I'm kind of undecided on this one. It's a tough call.
I look at him, not him, but I look at people who are trying to better themselves, and why would he want to sell his house? Where would he go? There's nothing here in this area that he could afford to buy.
Exactly. So far my plan is to stay there, you know, for as long as I can. And that's my plan. I don't plan to sell the house soon. Like I said, I just got another job, another part-time job, so I guess I'm doing a little bit better, making a little bit more money. And I don't know.
So in actuality,
I can leave that job,
two jobs.
I guess.
Is
come
that
back
right?
later. Excuse me?
In actuality, you're working two jobs.
I'm working in two places, yeah.
Mm. Very fortunate.
Yeah.
Consideration of situations where folks are taking money out of their houses. You could make a finding in this case that it would be an exception to the policy based on the fact that he isn't taking money or doesn't want to take money out. He just wants to refinance to get a lower situation. So it seems like you could accomplish both objectives. And I think staff's recommendation was just consistent with council policy, but you do have the flexibility, as the city attorney said, to make that exception in this case or exemption in this case.
Well, maybe even going one step farther, as John said, maybe we can't approve that exception at this point, but maybe bring this back as an agenda item to rewrite that clause that says if you don't take money out of it and you live there for 30 years, we don't really care. We'll let you, just refinance for refinancing purposes.
I think if that's the council's intent, you don't necessarily have to hold up Mr. Mayorga for
that's,
that.
That's what I said. We can approve this at this time, but if we want to make it a little less clumsy next time, we could agendize the item and put that clause back in, you know, put a new clause in there that says, you know, those persons wishing to refinance for refinancing purposes only, not to take any money out, mm-hmm. we won't hold them to some of the, we won't hold them to the payback.
I'm just wondering, while we're discussing this item, and once we get past the public input, if staff could maybe come up with some wording regarding maybe do we need to have another preamble or whereas, and maybe come up with wording for finding, should we get to that point of the granting an exception?
As this is only a policy set by the council, there isn't a legal necessity for making a formal finding. The council may express the grounds on which the exception will be granted and direct staff to prepare language for a new resolution reflecting the direction that the council wishes to take on this issue.
So you're saying you would revise the resolution and bring it back to the council?
Right.
But it wouldn't hold
this up. We can't do this tonight?
Yeah, no.
So we're going to grant an exception.
You absolutely can. You have the power to grant the exception. If you wish to change the resolution, so, for example, this item actually would not appear before you next time around since it would fit within the categories outlined, then we can prepare another resolution and bring it to council as an item in the next hearing or a meeting after that. One of the items that the council should probably consider if a change of direction is indicated is the issue of whether the necessity for applicant to remain in the low income bracket remains within the policy. What would be probably appropriate for the council is to give us direction to bring this item back to you in a properly agendized manner.
David.
I'm not very familiar with loan packages. Can we control the amount of a private first?
I think that there is ample equity in the house to cover the first and the second without any problem in the event that this issue would need to be addressed, or if it's the council's wish to base the exception on Mr. Mayorga only refining the amount that he currently has in the mortgage. That's something that if he agrees to, it's something that you may base your exception on. It's your choice in that regard. As far as controlling what he ultimately refinances or any applicant refinances, the only control that the city has is the approval of subrogation of the second loan.
But can he can't get a larger first if we don't subjugate the second?
That is correct. Okay. Any subrogation, any first would require a city subrogation of the second.
But ultimately, I mean, if we're thinking, don't take this wrong, Mr. Mayorga, but if someone other than yourself were to refinance the loan for the current balance just to take advantage of a lower interest rate, there's nothing to keep them from going to another financial institution saying, I want an equity line on my home and start pulling equity out. Basically, writing checks against their assessed appraised value of their property. I mean, ultimately, we don't have control over it. We're just going on the honor system at this point, right?
We have no control over what would become a third mortgage,
right.
But we do have priority in title.
Okay.
Any more discussion or questions of the appellant? Does anyone else want to speak to this item from the general public? Or seeing none, I'll bring them back to the council, and we'll see what you guys want to do, guys and gals.
Thank you.
I like the idea of not increasing the first amount, first trust deed that's there now. Once you say, well, you can pay for the additional refinancing charge or something out of it, then you somehow changed it a little bit. I think the cleanest, neatest way to do it would be if he can find a lower rate for the same amount of First Trustee loan, there's no harm, there's no foul to the city at all. We still have the same situation. And he has a lower rate. And he would recover his money over time, the $4,000 that he has to pay to refinance, which is a short-term loss for him, but a long-term gain. It seems like the easiest way to stay within our policy, because I love this policy as far as somebody trying to pull a lot of money out of their house. Then I think that we deserve to get part of that back so we can loan it to someone else. But if there's really no benefit for him other than an ongoing lower mortgage rate. So I'd like to see us just do it as we said.
Is that your motion?
Yes.
I'll second that.
Any other discussion? Okay, we have a motion and a second to basically let Mr. Mayorga refinance, but no more than what he basically has on the first at this point. And he has no repercussions to pay back 50% of the is there, do we want to bring that back as an item? Is there a consensus for maybe changing our policy just a little bit by making the policy another statement in the policy that says that you can refinance as long as you refinance exactly what you're refinancing at a lower rate and you don't pull any money out of it and you don't have to pay 50% back? Do we want to clean that up?
If it's the wish of the council, we'll bring that item back to council with some options for the council to decide on some of the possible language and options with regard to both the refinancing and the level of income issues.
You might look at the item two there, which is remaining the low income category there. It just isn't possible to fund something now in that. So my point is if somebody was going to buy into that project now and the houses are $300,000, they cannot qualify for any loan as a low-income resident.
Councilmember, I think that the policy addressing the repayment of funds deals with the city's ability to use those funds in other areas, not necessarily in the same development. It would be basically, for example, if one of these individuals came into a windfall of large amounts of money, lottery, I think the policy contemplates the city getting the money back and using it someplace where it's truly needed versus making a gift of $37,000 to somebody who really doesn't need it.
Is that sufficient direction, Susan? Okay, thank you. We'll move on to item number 8, Comprehensive Annual Report, Financial Report of 2002. The City Council will hear a presentation, receive and file the annual report. Kayla Chapman will be giving our staff report.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, during the month of December 2002, the city's annual audit was conducted by Terry Krieg, CPA. In the independent auditor's report, the city received an unqualified opinion. Also in the financial statements is a copy of our 6th Certificate of Achievement in Excellence for Financial Reporting, and we have submitted for the award again this year, and we have received acknowledgement that our submission has been received, but not yet word as to whether or not we have received the certificate. Council has received a copy of the 2002 Comprehensive Annual Financial Statements for the city. This is the first year in which we have a new Governmental Accounting Standards Board Statement 34, which is basically a new reporting model. So the financial statements should look different to you than they have in the past. This conversion to the new reporting model occurred 1 year prior to the deadline. The purpose of the new financial statements is to provide a more understandable and useful financial report to a wider range of users. And staff is recommending that the council receive and file the report.
Thank you, Gayla. Any questions of staff?
I do.
Stephen.
Tell me, please. Gayla, in your
Anything else, Steve?
You know what? I'm just going to sit back and see if you guys ask my questions. I'm feeling lazy.
John?
No.
Dee?
No.
Any questions? Dave?
Couple.
Okay.
Just so I understand, what I think I'm reading here is on page... how's it go? 10 of the financial section. Right at the bottom bullet there, the budget is balanced by using general fund resources available from the 202 fiscal year. I guess I'm not answering this right, but we're starting out the year with 3.3 in general fund balance. Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess I'll... go to page 2. Page 2 of that same financial section, about the middle of the book. The general fund reported a year-end fund balance of $3.3 million. Did you see that?
Yes.
Okay. If I go to page 4 of your opening statements there, this year we're going to end with a $2.8 million general fund balance. Challenges for fiscal 2003, the last paragraph and page 4 of the introductory section. Gayla, you see where I'm at there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My point is pretty basic. It's we have spent $500,000 of general, if we started with 3.3 and we're ending with 2.8. We spent $500,000 more than our income. And it doesn't really say that different places. Different places, it talks about the expenses were less than our income. I'm confused. Somewhere maybe I need to come in privately and have you explain this to me. But it looks like we didn't run a actual balanced budget this last year. We started with 3.3 in general fund revenues, general fund balance. And we're projected to end with 2.8. That's $500,000 that's gone. And yet, another place in here, it is talking about the expenses are less than the income.
Let me go back and make sure that there's not a typo in the letter also. Okay.
Because I wanted to make doubly sure. We have always prided ourselves on running a totally balanced budget. We spend what we take in that year. And if this is not the case, I think it's something that we need to really know and talk about. If we're dipping into reserves to run our ongoing budget this year, we need to know that. And financial analysis of city funds. The city's spending for general fund operation exceeded general fund revenues by about $84,000 before interfund transfers and blah, blah, blah. Reading here, it makes it sound like we are doing it the way we intended to, which is run either a balanced budget or keep a little extra in reserve. And that doesn't jive with the other thing we were talking about previously. So somewhere between this page 9 and these other issues, it's really got me confused. And with that, I'll just drop it because I don't think we can resolve it right now. But I'm confused, I guess, is what I'd like to say.
Is that it, Dave? Any other questions?
I'm through. Thank you.
Steve? I just had some comments, I think. When I read through this, it said that it was prepared so that it would be easier for more people to understand. And I don't feel it's that much better, that it's written any better than the past financial analysis that we've had. There's so many areas in here that seem to be not specific enough, and when you look at it, it says, on page 8, it says, other governments and organizations that subsidize certain programs with grants and contributions, $1.8 million. Well, what are they? Why can't we have, what are those organizations that subsidize grants and programs to come up to $1.8 million? And this is just one example. It seems like there are a lot of specifics in there like that that I would have liked to have seen a footnote down here that says the $1.8 million of these programs is donated by A, B, C, and D. And it seems like, and maybe it's just me, maybe it's just the fact that I'm not drawing the conclusions or something, but it seemed like there were a lot of places like that that weren't specific enough. Did anyone else have similar problems in this about reading some of the, like it would? It says cash and investments. Now, what's an investment?
Is you going to ask a question and let someone answer it?
Well, okay, go ahead. Go.
It's like being at home.
Whoa.
The city is only invested in LAIF, so for the city that would be the money that we have invested in LAIF.
But I don't know that. I don't know what the investment means. I don't know if that's physical assets like you said, the LAIF, or if we're talking about, got $5 million there. Is that the physical structures that we have? Is that the property that we actually own?
No, that is not property.
That's LAIF money, that's all? Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, thanks, Ron. No, I'll be the first to admit that Sunday afternoons is not my favorite time to read financial statements, but the GASB standard that we adopted, it sounds really well intended, and I know that people in the public have come forward during budget and said they'd like to have a budget that's a little easier. Yeah, I don't think it'll ever be easy with financial statements.
I have to admit, I thought it flowed fairly well reading through it. The only little nitpicking objection I had was I hate to see this all quoted in millions of dollars, so you have a 0.1 or 1.1 or something. I think you need more zeros in there just to make it look like dollars to me. Somehow it looks like statistics, percentages or something rather than dollars.
And if we were to change the format, it would not be an acceptable report to win the financial statement awards.
If it wasn't quoted in millions of dollars on
yes,
the statistics?
Yes, that is what they have requested.
The tables?
Gail, if you get me Dave's future books, I'll put zeros in for him. I'll do that.
I'd rather not have the award, but understand that's your... Okay. We're too small a city to do everything in millions.
John, go ahead. You have a couple of questions. Okay.
Well, as I read through this, there was a couple of questions and that popped into my head, and this is in light of the state budget crisis and some of the statements that were made in here, and maybe staff could maybe answer some of the questions that I had. In particular, I was reading through the redevelopment and long-term debt service, and I was curious if staff had any initial looks into how the governor's proposed budget might impact that. And then the second question that I had is, seems like we spent less due to delays in street projects. Will we be able to continue street improvements in 2003 and 2004?
First of all, we awarded the 2003 street program in July, as I recall, and they are primarily accomplished, aren't they? Have we finaled them? Yes. So we have spent all of this year's money and had awarded them in the month of July with regard to that. With regard to what's happening on the state, the governor has proposed stealing, for want of a better term, all of the money out of the low and moderate income housing fund.
We heard it was a shift. No,
right. A shift, exactly. And that is not currently being considered by the legislature in at this point in time. They're looking at other options and other shifts of funding. And for me to comment on something today about what the state is likely to do, it's probably not going to be accurate tomorrow or next week or certainly by the 1st of July. We all have to remain flexible and see what happens actually when the state does adopt a budget. Hopefully that will be within the constitutional requirement of the 1st of July, but it's no one is predicting that that will be the case.
Thank you. Dave, I just want to say I like some of the tables in the back that any other questions, comments? Seeing none, we'll open this to the public. I don't know if anybody in the public's had a chance to read this, review it, and has any discussion or comments on it, but if you do, please come to the podium and state your name and give us your opinion.
Otherwise, we'll start the written test.
Right.
Okay.
Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council, and I guess we'll have a motion to adopt and file and receive and file. Or do we need one? Don't really need one? Okay.
So we've got, do we?
Move on to number nine, mid-year budget presentation. Gayla Chapman, one more time.
In compliance with the City of Grover Beach's financial policies, staff has prepared the fiscal year 03 mid-year budget review, which is designed to give an overview of the city's financial position as of December 31st. Overall, the city revenues and expenditures for the first half of the year are proceeding as expected, with only a few exceptions. I'll just highlight a few of them. State-mandated claims reimbursement and post-reimbursements have been suspended by the state of California, and we will not be receiving those revenues, and we need to do a budget amendment to adjust accordingly. Building permit-related revenues are at 80% of the $130,000, which was budgeted, and other building-related activities are also increased. Property tax, current secured, and property tax for prior year are both about 92% and 98%, respectively, of what was originally budgeted. Other property tax-related revenues are being received as expected. Transient occupancy tax is down by 9%, and that seems to be countywide. There is a decrease in transient occupancy tax revenue. For the Parks Construction Fund, construction fees are at 154% of what was budgeted, and the city has received to date $29,058, where $18,816 was budgeted. Park and lieu fees received are $60,264, which is 301% of the $20,000, which was budgeted. Citywide expenditures are proceeding as planned with only a few adjustments. Annually, the city has a sick leave and vacation cash out, which occurs in November and December of each year, and a budget amendment is requested for the $24,376, which was paid to employees. Cost allocation plan, user fee study, and transient occupancy tax audit is being rebudgeted in the amount of $34,500. It was inadvertently omitted from the budget as a carryover item from last year. And services administrative for the general management program in the city management department, there is a correction, and you should have received a copy. The amount is $32,000 that is requested for city attorney's fees. A good portion of that is due to an overlap of city attorney for a period of time. The water fund supplies of sodium hydroxide and sodium hypochlorite is averaging approximately $11,000 per month, and we had only budgeted $77,000, so an increase in the water fund of $55,000 is requested for that item. And utilities electricity was budgeted in the amount of $98,000, and the expenditures are in. And then to budget $25,000 out of the skate park fund itself for expenditures for the operation of the skate park, and the other $10,000 will be supplemented by the revenues being received at the skate park, which is averaging approximately $1,000 per month. And we have the several resolutions for the council's consideration, which the first one is the sick leave and vacation cash out. The second one is the user fee study, cost allocation plan, and TOT audit. The third is amending and basically reducing the amount of anticipated revenues for state-mandated claims. The fourth is reducing the anticipated revenues for post-reimbursements. The fifth is increasing services administrative in the city management department. The sixth is increased cost of supplies in the water fund. The seventh is an increased cost of utilities, electricity in the water fund. And the eighth is to adopt the resolution amending the annual appropriation resolution for contractual payments for skate park operation and anticipated revenues. The overall effect of the mid-year budget amendments would be $159,816 on the general fund, $1,337 on the wastewater fund, $140,724 on the water fund, $130 on the stormwater fund, and $10,000 on the skate park fund, for a total of $312,007. And does anyone have any questions?
Any questions of staff?
I have a couple.
Steve.
Yeah, that's just kind of a related note. On TOT, yes. Are we pretty current with our TOT collections?
No, we are not. We have one hotel that is currently delinquent.
You going to give us their phone number right now? Okay. And how are we aggressively working with collections? Would we turn them over to a – would we use a collections agency?
Currently, the city attorney is handling
okay,
the matter.
In process?
We're in a process of considering an issuance of administrative subpoenas to obtain their records in order to be able to audit them and proceed forward with collection.
Okay.
I should also note that one of the areas where we're talking about updating municipal code would be in the area of our transient occupancy ordinance, our tax ordinance, in order to strengthen what happens when folks are delinquent in reporting or in paying. The way it works now is there's an initial penalty, but once they get to that initial penalty threshold, there's no particular reason for them to pay us, so it becomes a inexpensive short-term financing for them. So we need to look at tightening up the ordinance, the municipal code in that area.
How far behind are they, dare I ask?
They have not paid since the quarter ended December 31st.
Okay. Thanks. I guess my last question is just for some clarification on the electricity issue.
Yes.
When we were having the budget presentations, didn't we use a really overly conservative estimate on electricity because of what our good state had done? I mean, I'm just not quite sure how we're over 80. That's all I have.
Dee?
On the TOT tax, this isn't the first time this particular business has been in the rears.
That is correct.
As you're doing your review, isn't there some way that we can take care of this, that this doesn't happen continually in the same?
Absolutely. Part of it is that we instituted a TOT audit, and we'll be bringing that information to council. We've also asked the city attorney to take appropriate steps, which he has initiated, and as I was indicating, what we want to do is to make recommendations to the council to strengthen the ordinance so that it's there's a disincentive for this kind of behavior.
Be a nice senior complex.
Come on now.
Dave, John?
No, my questions have been asked and answered.
Okay. So. I had several. So what state-mandated claims reimbursement, I would love to see us find a mandate that we could suspend while they suspend their reimbursements for them. If you have any ideas, I'd be voting for it. Another one, the post-reimbursements. A lot of post programs that we send our officers for is are okayed because it's post-reimbursed. So if we're not being reimbursed for those, I think we should be looking very carefully at sending our officers, and is it indeed the highest priority for us to spend our own money on it? Because I know a lot of times we just cavalierly okay these programs or these schools or sessions because it's reimbursed by the state. So I don't know if we've thought about suspending any for the next 3 or 4 months or for this year. If we're not being reimbursed for anything, I don't know if there's any even going on now. Is there an answer to that?
I need to sit down with the chief. There is one activity that is planned that I know of that that we may talk a little bit more seriously about. There are certain kinds of things, though, that we need to maintain certifications for, not only because it's state law, but also because it'll we are in a better defensive position, as Martin can explain, if some kind of incident or accident or whatever were to occur, if the plaintiff could demonstrate that the city had failed to properly train and equip its personnel, then our liability exposure would be dramatically higher.
Well, this statement says that they've been suspended. I don't know if that means they will reimburse us later, like ERAF and all this other stuff.
Right. What they're saying is that when the good times come back, they definitely are going
to.
We promise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The money's
fees.
$32,000. That was the amount I corrected. And
okay,
you have
I'm sorry.
Correcting
you're right.
Resolution
you're right.
Also.
Okay. Even that, I hope that we realize that we're trying to get over a hump, and we're going to go back to the good old days of less attorney fees, not more.
It is due partially to an overlap.
Okay. I share your concerns about the water and electricity bills. It seems like we're way out of line and something that we've historically run year after year. Mm-hmm. It's sure hard to figure out how we got so far out of bounds. And the skateboard park thing, that is getting to be an expensive park over there. If we put in a $15,000 fence and now we're going to pay, my calculations, $18,000 a year of general fund money to maintain it above the income that we get out of it, it's going to cost us $30,000 a year to run, and we're getting $12,000 back. That's the difference.
Currently, as stated in the report, we're receiving approximately $1,000 a month. The weekends, the dollar value is very high that we are receiving, and we're anticipating for the summer to be very good. And along with a sign program also at the skate park, which will hopefully help raise the revenues.
We need some offsetting deals, but we need to be getting on that. It's been open a year now. And
I think Martin wants to make a comment.
Council member, we will have the lease agreement for the sign program to council for your review and consideration at the next meeting.
That's great, but that's not income. That's an agreement to go try and find some income. No, the income comes when somebody puts a sign up.
You'll be the first, right?
I'd be a nonprofit. No. I'm definitely a nonprofit these days.
I think I agree. It's more than we anticipated, but I think there's offsetting costs within our city budget that we're not taking into account. I would think that Mike would be able to give us a dollar amount in vandalism that the city crews had to address in the past, and Chief Bradbury and Chief Griswold could give us an offsetting manpower dollar amount for responding to the skate park that, well, fingers crossed that Chief Criswell's people don't have to do it very often, but the police definitely aren't there like they used to be. So, I mean, there's got to be some more of an internal cost offset, I would think, since we've gated it, locked it, and staffed it. You don't believe me?
No, I understand that. And if you wanted to carry it to the extreme, you could say if we locked it up, there wouldn't be any vandalism, there wouldn't be any calls, there wouldn't be any expenses at all. So we're trying to provide services to our public, but... Mm-hmm. There is a cost. So.
Sure.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. I just want to go on. I just kind of want to echo some of your statements with Post. I have some concerns there, too, and unless those programs are really, really beneficial, even when they're getting reimbursed, I think we're still foot the travel, the per diem, and the stay of the individual there, and a lot of times we backfill them with overtime. So it's not as good a deal as it looks up front, even if we get reimbursed sometimes. It's got to be a real benefit to the community or to the city, and if it does offset litigation somewhere down the road, then it's worth it. But we need to look at those hard. I agree with you, Dave, partially on the skateboard park. I really would like to see it. This is, we'll open this to the public. If anybody in the public wants to speak on any of these items. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council for consideration. Entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the mid-year budget resolutions, items 1 through 8, on our staff report.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Since there's a bunch of resolutions in there, I assume that that's basically
yes.
All those resolutions are going to be run, be rolled into one deal. We'll have a roll call vote.
Yes.
Mayor
Yes.
Councilmember Lieberman?
Yes.
Councilmember Schultz?
Yes.
Mayor Arneson?
Yes. Thank you, Gayla.
Thank you.
Item number 10, goal setting strategic plan process. The City Council will continue the goal setting and strategic planning process. And staff report will be done by City Manager Ron Anderson.
Honorable Mayor, members of the City Council, since I guess January 27th, we had a role definition exercise with City Council, members of the Planning Commission, Parks and Rec Commission, and Grover Beautiful Committee. That was on a Monday night. On the following Saturday, we had an all-day role. Our goal setting and strategic planning work session that we entered into on February 18th. The council also held another session where you looked at the vision statement that was in the general plan and goal statements that were in the general plan. You looked at the five-year plan and reviewed the progress that was made on that and identified areas that you thought we could drop, areas that we ought to continue to deal with. You asked each of the various advisory bodies to come up with their top five goals for the coming year. You asked for department heads to come up with 3 to 5 goals for each one of their departments. That all of that information has been provided to you. And then several members of council had indicated different kinds of ideas. So basically what we were asked to do was to bring that information back to the council and for the council to start looking at these various items and activities and to start refining that list down to a more manageable list where we could set some priorities about what we would be doing in the short term as well as what we would be doing in the midterm. And that information is before the council, and we're prepared to assist in any way we can and helping you get to that with those two lists.
How do you guys want to do this? I'm open for suggestions.
And took the next 2 weeks to really think about only those and no others, and had our staff look at the ones that they could accomplish and the ones that are very time-consuming or expensive or unable to perform at all with the existing staff. Maybe they could look at the different ones and rank them as far as ability to perform on. We could come back with with a list and kind of a consensus on how many of these that we have on our list that we can actually accomplish immediately or within the next year and vote on them at that time. That would give us a little more information as far as which ones we all agree would like to do and which ones we all agree and staff that we can do at the same time or accomplish within a year. So I don't know if you want to have them listed like they said on the board over here and you do the stickers and things, or if we can all have handouts that we read and vote on somehow. But we have quite a list from the different departments, and they're of concern to all of them. Some of them jump right out at me as boy, that makes sense, and we hadn't talked about that. And there's a couple others that I've thought about that maybe aren't very time-consuming, but I think are important, and I'm sure others do also. So I don't know if we're at the stage tonight where we can say, here's our list of five, let's go do them. I don't think I am, so I'd like to see us continue down the same path that we're on and spend some real time on it, because we're talking about major goals and accomplishments for the next year for us. Let's pick the right ones that we can do and all agree on. So.
I would just like to bring up one thing. The other night at the Grover Beautiful meeting, the committee had strong opinions about stuff, and I see there's nobody here from Grover Beautiful tonight, nor anybody from the Planning Commission.
Mr. Mears.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Mears. You just didn't pop out. But, you know, their information was very important that day, too. And like I said, you know, staff tries hard to try to get to their goals and so forth. So we need that information also. And I think you're right, Dave, that going through this, give us a couple of weeks and then we can come out with strong.
But even if tonight, if we all went through all these and came up with a list and started paring that down over the next...
Can I jump in here?
Sure, John, go ahead.
Well, I agree, Dave. I don't think I'm prepared to go over this evening. I think I would like to see us give staff some direction, and here's where I'm kind of going with this is, I think there was a lot of similar goals that were from the council all the way down to the committees, and I think someone really needs to get in there and consolidate these mm-hmm. goals. And let's put them under some broad headings, like, you know, if we have a special meeting just for goal setting, because the mayor had said, let's do this, and here we are in April, and I think we need to get focused and get on with the task at hand.
John, good idea. I like the way you talk. I'm glad I don't have to come up with all the ideas. Good job. I think I agree with you. I think that that's an effective way to handle this.
As John was stealing my thunder, I was paging through this, and I started building a grid for myself, and I was thinking, I'm going to build this grid, and then someone else is going to have a different grid. But, I mean, you go through, and the different commissions and the departments are saying we need code enforcement. The police department's saying it. Mm-hmm. Community development's saying it. We need it. Grover Beautiful's saying we need it. We're saying we need it. We need kind of a tally where we take exactly what John said. We've got four different organizations saying we need the same thing. Well, that starts to put some weight into the issue of this really needs some strong attention. Redevelopment, we've got... On council priorities, we've got some ideas on redevelopment, and then when you turn to the graphically oriented Bob Mack page, we've got at the bottom, he's got some very specific issues with redevelopment and talks about needing fiscal support. So we need to, I agree. We need to whittle it down a little bit, and I like the 50 points. I mean, you can either go throw it all at your favorite mm-hmm. issue or mm-hmm. yeah. spread it out.
Well, one thing I like is I think there are some things that the departments can that we're not, we shouldn't really or probably won't have much control over some of these department goals. And I think it's nice that we at least have brought them forward and that they've expressed their goals so that we can see where they want to go and they can see what our priorities are. So I think there are two different sets of goals here. I think there's goals that the council can set and we can ask staff to achieve, and there are other goals that we can look at commissions or departments and say, great goals, go for it. You know, we're behind you. So do we want to kind of just set this off to the side and do it on another day and basically do as John said, have some...
I think we need to put a few more things on the list. What did you, John, did you think that you wanted to separate them by departments like you were talking about or areas?
Well, I was thinking a broad heading so it would be areas.
Right.
Because I think there's a lot of overlap.
What are you going to put under that heading of streets or something? I mean...
Public safety.
What are you going to put under that heading?
I'd imagine I'm asking staff to go through that and say... Here's six broad headings, and as I read the goals, this goal fits under this heading, this fits under this heading, this is duplicated, so we don't, you know, I'm not looking for a specific language more so than to take what we've got. I think we've got, there's a lot of goals here, and I think we just need to get more focused in our discussion.
And you want the staff to come back and focus them for you, or just...
I want them to consolidate what we have already. I don't want to. I think I was just looking at the notes, and by the way, I think our city clerk did a fabulous job on the notes because I saw where I had stated.
Ron, any feedback from staff?
We can certainly do what Councilmember Scholes is suggesting, and it although there would be. Some subjectivity involved in that, picking where some of the things go. That certainly the council could reconsider that when we come back. I think this is a five Monday month, so we may have a little time to actually do some of that between now and the next council meeting. We'd have an extra week, so that would also be helpful for us.
Well, maybe even as John said, we get some broad goals, and maybe we just take each one of these lists and, as a council, decide whether everything on a list is a council priority or whether it's a priority that belongs to a particular commission or department. And really, I envision these goals being something the council would set, even though the different departments have set their own goals. And I would expect them to do that every year anyway. But we haven't set council goals for a long time. And that's where I envisioned this thing going. So if we got some broad categories and we as a council went through every one of these lists that we have and either nixed it or put it under a broad category and then move forward with the 50 points or whatever. I know I think it's a little more intense than we have time for tonight. I don't really know that this is...
Could we go through the...
I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead, Dave, go ahead.
Could we go through the different departments and highlight those recommendations that we thought were interesting?
Okay.
I think
if Ron is going to try
and condense all this, he's going to have a long list.
Yeah, and it is subjective. I think he's right. It's subjective, and it's something that once he goes through, we might look back and say, well, geez, you dropped that... such and such program. I thought that was a great one. What the heck happened to that? So,
we did revise our old 5-year plan. So
that's basically where our goal started.
And if we went right from that to in order, the next one is the Planning Commission goals. If we went through those and highlighted those, perhaps there's some of those that we don't think are as important, and then they wouldn't.
Well, maybe we could just say keep or
right.
You know, keep or throw out. Maybe make it that easy.
Well,
I mean, it's a priority or it's not a priority.
Well, I was kind of hoping that's what we would do at the next meeting. Well, then, I think at this point, I'm not prepared to tell a commission or a committee that what you've listed is not important, or we're going to throw it out. I want to see where there's clearly a lot of overlap. Code enforcement was a big overlap.
It's a very recurring theme.
Yeah.
That's the only one.
Utility
that,
undergrounding. I mean.
But you're going to have a community development category, and you're going to have seven things from the planning commissioners there. I'm not sure what you're going to gain from 2 weeks off.
Thought?
Plank? Viewshed study, and they're being hammered by a lot of people in these developments because there's not a specific ordinance. It's pretty vague, and so I think they want to have a more specific ordinance, which really is really important to them, whereas when you talk about the Grand Avenue Parking District, that's something that we probably want to see in redevelopment. That's where we're probably going to look at funding sources, and that's why I say I think those priorities are more important for us.
But how are you're asking staff to either put every one of these under a category or eliminate some of them that they feel are not necessary, and I'm trying to relieve the load.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I think what we need to do is we need to maybe have some broad categories, and we as a group go through each one of these and say, that's under this category. It's, and then you know, we go through and we select out of the categories what we want to keep as priorities. Maybe we do a five-year goal. I mean, we can do this in 5 years. This is an immediate thing that we want to do in 1 year. This is something that we're really not going to push, but it's something that the Planning Commission feels important, and they need to deal with in their Planning Commission agenda and in their meetings. But we'll support them, but it's not something that we want to put our emphasis and our staff to work on. I mean, the staff will be working on it, but you know what I'm saying, is it?
Well, that's what we're trying to get.
Right.
Just trying to figure out how to get there. And
yeah, I mean, for example, as I look at the Planning Commission goals, I think five out of the seven are consistent with goals that I've stated. And I think that's my point is
about him.
Well, we're not mutually. I'm just saying they're not mutually exclusive and they're not necessarily in conflict. And I would hope, and maybe if there isn't the staff resources to do what we're asking, then maybe now's the time for staff to speak up. You know, because I think when we were talking about this, I had that we were going to come up with these goals and maybe we could categorize them. We'd put them on the wall or put them on the screen and we would go right through them and say, you know, and that way everyone would know that they've had a voice in this process. And in the end, their goals may not have the highest priority, but they've at least been part of this process.
Well, they're part of the process right now. We've got a list of everyone. Here's planning commissioners.
Yeah, well,
I don't think that viewshed would be one of the high priority things that we would say that we're going to accomplish in this next year. I know it's a little controversial problem. It's been that way for the 40 years that we've been a city, but it's not.
And maybe that's where you and I are having a philosophical difference, is because maybe I'm not thinking that we're going to accomplish all of these this year, but maybe we start them this year. I mean, viewshed, I mean, that is a significant issue. And if you were at the Planning Commission meeting, there's something that's going to be coming to us, I think, in April, in which a couple has bought a home. They want to build a second story. It's partially blocking the view. And I think this is an older neighborhood, and it is going to be a battleground, for lack of a better term. And so how do we address that? Do we need to come up with a policy that talks about preserving view sheds? And then how do we do that? Do we modify the code to say allow them to have more lot coverage instead of 35%, 45%? And if you go up two stories, is that two-story going to be smaller than the base floor? I mean, I'm sure I'm getting into a lot of details, but I'm just trying to emphasize that it is an important issue.
It is changing. And when I go to these folks' home and I say, you know, yeah, your view is going to be severely impacted by this, and there's nothing on the books to keep that development from happening, and I'm really sorry. It's too bad that a policy didn't get enacted years ago when you bought your home. I'm tired of saying that to people. I'm not being responsible to the community, and if we need to have a discussion, obviously the Planning Commission is getting thumped by this, and then we're hearing about it, especially when an appeal comes forward. I would like to say the bottom line is there's no protection, and put it in the Muni Code. Or say the guideline is 50% of your view is obstructed or some number that's measurable, and then we live with it. Or we officially don't live with it and say you have no right to your units on the books, and that's right.
I would agree.
So I think we need to look into this because I'm tired of saying, I'm sorry, I wish I could help you. You enjoyed your view for 40 years, and now it's someone else's turn.
We still haven't got to the process, so what kind of process
do we need? I like the process that you guys were talking about.
Okay, so I guess what we're going to do is another meeting where we actually just pound through the stuff. And is that what we're talking about?
That's what I'm suggesting.
Okay, we have a fifth Monday and...
31st.
Is that?
Don't you all have another meeting that fifth? No, it's the week before. That was canceled. Okay. You're fine.
Okay. So the question is staff up to the task?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm hearing two different approaches from the council. And if what you're asking us to do is to take six categories and to take each one of the things that are on the list and stick it into one category and then decide whether some of them appear to be similar or the same as something else and therefore we don't include it or say that multiple folks included that are okay.
I think we're looking to reinforce that goal that it's been, four different departments have said this is a high priority goal. That's what we're looking for, right?
Okay, if we do that, I'm not sure why we can't just proceed tonight, because if we know what the six categories are, the council can go down each one of these things and say that belongs in this category, and it's a thumbs up or a thumbs down or neutral. I don't know why you would want to put off. I mean, my understanding was that we wanted to move forward on this with all due diligence, and as you pointed out, we've gone from January to March, and we've got what you asked us to bring to you tonight in front of you. And if you want to take
well, with all due respect, you asked us for direction, and so we're giving you direction. And now, if the majority of this council doesn't want to follow that direction, that's fine. If you don't have the resources to do it, please let us know.
I mean,
that's what your report asks for is direction. So. I made a suggestion, and if I can't, if no one else wants to go with that, I'm okay with that. So let's make a decision.
Yep.
So you still want staff to categorize?
Recommended this so that we at least know that there was a lot of weight given to it, but I don't think we need to repeat it in the various different categories. Find the one that you feel it best suits, and if this council doesn't agree with you, we always have the option to change it.
I would like to see us go right down the list tonight, pare it down to something more manageable, and so that, and then you can come back with a smaller list that is of what we feel is supportable or something, because we're the ones who are going to be making the decisions on it. So, otherwise, I just see this as regurgitating the same information. You're just going to have it, instead of on five different memorandums, you're going to have it under some categories, and you're going to have a long list under each one, just as you have right here. Plus any other ones we wanted to add to it. Where are you going to add to this list if you're not going to discuss about it tonight?
What to do?
As an example, let me throw out a couple. Here's industrial area sewer. I don't think it's listed here anywhere. I think it's a real high priority. That would be one of my biggest stars. It's way down on the community development side.
Yeah,
somewhere.
But it's still listed there, and I don't think he's. I think he listed under just sanitary sewer system. He doesn't necessarily have priority. He just has bullets under there.
But under he it. Has, like you said, a lot Now, are all those going to be included in this long list, or can we weed through some of them and say, yes, we understand that's a concern, but it's not one of our big bullet items? And help, I'm trying to help out staff here to pare down this list now. That's the only thing I'm disagreeing with John on.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that I agree with John that this is staff's job to do this, because it's our goals, it's not staff's goals. And
you know, another idea.
Well, throw it out.
I throw it out three times.
Well,
I've made my suggestion. You know where I stand, and I'm not moving off that one. So.
There's other ideas that aren't listed here that I would like to see on this list that we're going to be voting on. And I'd like to just know where I can put these onto a list that will come back to be voted on. Well, if we're just going to hand it to staff.
I think John's about to tell you where to put those. No, I'm only kidding.
That guy was 17 on his list.
I guess I would just suggest, if you're talking about adding more items, tonight would be the night to do that. If you want to add more items. I was merely stating that I felt that I had given staff my list, and Donna had done a very good job of documenting what that was, and I feel it'd be detrimental for me to come back with more, because we were trying to pare it down last time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can understand why you'd feel that way. But within 17. That was awesome.
It was down to 14.
Okay, whatever.
Okay, I'll break it. I agree with John.
Okay, I agree with that. If we do it on the fifth Monday, we're in there. We're going to finish this thing. We're going to pound it out, mm-hmm. no matter what it takes. Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily think that staff has to adjust all this. I think it's up to us to go through this and pound it out. That's kind of what Dave's saying, too.
On what we have already.
Yeah, I think that...
Dave wants to add to the list, let's get it on paper now, so if that's what we're going to do individually, ponder this thing.
I think it was more important to delete from this list. If he's going to take all these from Planning Commission has 7, Community Development, Police Chief has 3, Fire Department has 4.
Good.
He did it right. Community Development has a lot. Finance, I'm not sure.
They have top 3.
Well, you know, when you look at Parks and Recs, now some of their goals are basically, from what I can see, their budget items, their budget goals, and there's not something that we're really, I don't think they're an overall city goal. They're maybe a department goal, and I don't know that those are really applicable to where we're going.
But unless we live in here, isn't that staff's direction to bring them all back, categorized by something?
We're going to do that by the time we come back.
I thought we were going to go through them page by page, put them on a board and say, these are our goals. These are the...
We're going to do this on that Monday, then.
That's what I thought.
That's what I'm...
If you have other goals that you want to put on here at this point, though, we're open to that, I think.
But for every 2 goals that you give us, you have to drop one of your prior ones.
I have to drop one of John's.
All right.
Come on.
Ramona specific plan isn't on there.
I think there is under public public works. There's something under there. Or I think Susan, did Susan have that on there? I think Susan had that. And I mean, not public works, but.
It's on the graphically correct Bob Mack document. Planning,
and
second bullet.
The one Susan put together before.
Yeah, complete Ramonic specific plan process. Yeah.
I mentioned the industrial areas, so it's not separated. A capital replacement fund. I don't see that anywhere, but I think.
Okay, you guys ready? Good answer. Oh, this is an answer. This is kind of like...
and another issue that the city manager has mentioned a number of times is perhaps we would like to go out bonding in this time of very low interest rates, bonding for long-term improvement. Instead of a commitment of $300,000 a year for streets, we
bond for $20 million or 20.
$5 million and pay the $300,000 a year on it now, and do it all at one time now. That seems to be... something that would be doable and make sense, but it's not listed anywhere. And that type of discussion, I think, should be on.
What was your second one, David?
I don't know.
Capital replacement fund.
Oh, yeah.
See, I'm compiling it for you, Dave.
Okay, thank you. And, yeah, well, no, the others were just highlighted, some of the favorite ones.
Be here on the 31st. Is that?
No, they're good.
Oh, they are going to do it. Okay, I just want to make, before we move on, I want it nailed down.
I don't know. Do we want staff to compile this? That's what John's saying.
I thought we were going to do it ourselves.
Other communities have their staff do this. Why can't we in Grover Beach? They get top dollar to provide support to the council. So I'm just asking.
I'd like to have that one document myself. Otherwise, we're all going to come here saying, well, no, this is weighted one way or another. Versus on I'd like to have that one document with the risk.
Well, I guess if we get that one document, we need to have it early enough that we can take the information we have tonight, go through it, and see if there's something that we felt was a priority that's missing on that document or have some disagreement with the way that staff has made a concise document.
Perhaps, John, if you could repeat the six categories and...
Okay.
Go ahead. And then I guess what we would do then is to take all of the information that the council has before it tonight and go through and decide which one of those categories those belong in, aggregate that information in one package for council to look at, and if the council then thinks that something belongs in a different category, that could come up 2 weeks from tonight, and then at that session, I guess everybody had 50 points or 100 points or whatever to allocate among whatever the individual issues are. Then we would get down to what, some manageable number that we would then say, would we then have time to analyze that and figure out what would it take to accomplish that, or?
Yeah, I think we prioritize them then. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you want to go year by years or by priority, mid, low, and high priority. There's a couple of ways to do it. I guess you could look at all those goals and say we can do these in a year, we can do them in 2 years, this is something we can do in 2 years, this is something we can do in 5 years, or this is a real high priority. We want to do these as quickly as we can, and the mid priorities, when you get to those, okay, and the low priority. If something comes up, we get funding for it, let's do it. But at this point, it's not a real...
Well, it might give staff a chance to take another look at what they submitted, because several departments, you know, public safety folks and finance and the manager, they either have their top three or four goals, or finance has said, here's our top three, and then here's the other things we'd like to work on. Maybe some of the other organizations can look at this in the meantime and say, well, here's the top three or four of the 8 or 10 that I have, and maybe that'll help whittle it down as well and get us more focused.
Okay. How many items do you think will be on this list if we put everything on there that we talked about before from our other minutes? John had 14, he said. I don't know, I think I had 6, 8, I don't know. We all had some. Aren't we going to end up with 40 or 50 items?
We're going to go on
to 50 points and rank it. Two stars on something would qualify.
Wherever you're at.
So anyway, we're rolling along.
Okay.
No other hot news.
You want to report on the Oceana Open or anything like that?
Nope.
Must have made money. Mr. Lieberman.
Actually, I have nothing to report. We have a tentative meeting with the Fire and Emergency Services Oversight Committee, tentative for the 25th. We're hoping we get rolling on that. That's it.
John?
I have nothing to report, just that I'm having a EVC meeting next Wednesday, so I'll report back after that.
Dee?
We had a Grover Beautiful meeting, and I'm sure all of you have seen the new little booklets that they have out. Very nice stuff. We talked about upcoming events, the Easter egg hunt thing that they're going to partake in. Also, we talked about the garden tour, June 1st. We're still having the plant exchange, and I think in maybe next year, if it's as successful as it was last year, we're going to move it to Ramona Gardens, but we need just another year of planning. Being thankful to say that my son got accepted to the job in San Francisco Botanical Gardens, and so he'll be getting us more plants.
Ooh.
For our city. Let's see. Our new chairperson was our first meeting and did very well. Other than that, I think we're all complete. Oh, Kathy did very good about explaining to the committee. They talked about email and so forth and about the Brown Act and so forth. So great meeting. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Dee. Sanitation District is pretty much the same every time. We have a Zone 3 meeting this Thursday. One of the hot button items there is fluoride, fluoridation of water. And you may have read that Pismo and Aurora Grandy have had that on their council agendas and kind of pretty much approved it from what I remember. We didn't have it here, and I guess it was basically one of those things that, that the Zone 3 people, because I talked to Christine today, and she kind of left it up to individual departments from the from their executive committee to bring forward, and we didn't bring that forward. And I know this is an agendized item, so you really can't get your input on it, but if you have input, I guess you could come to the meeting on Thursday. I don't know how best to move forward on that. That's I guess the real hot issue there this week. It's gonna be pretty interesting. The other thing I think I wanted to talk about was our League of Cities meeting this last Friday. I haven't been to one for quite a while. It's a nice meeting, but one thing that was really impressive is that Pismo, in their packet of things that they gave out, they had three very nice brochures that explained different things in Pismo. I don't know that we have one in Grover. I guess our chamber has one, but that was pretty impressive. It was a nice meeting and well attended. And Steve,
we've all had the experience. I was in here last week talking to Mr. Ford. I got two things up there that could just be a real sad situation. And all the time I've been here, I didn't have a crystal ball to know what's going to happen out there. But next door neighbor and I have been good friends and good neighbors, and his father and I, but his father was like a father to me, and I respected his word. And when he said something, I thought that was the rule of the book, and that was time of county incorporation. So, now then they're going to build some houses. I have no problem. They can build a house. I've always been against flag lots, and I got one. It's come to the point where my youngest son has no place to live if I don't build my backyard someday. I don't want that because, you know what's going to happen on a flag lot? They park in the street. The noise committee's been talking about parking mailboxes. So this morning, the guy that's going to do the building and I, we get a tape measure. We put it out there. And you won't believe this. That, you know, on a property line, most of them have wooden fences so you can bulldoze them down. This isn't bullfoot, a wooden fence. They're cement blocks. They've been there since 1960. And when we found out, I knew where my property line was. But when they were surveying for the new houses, they had problems. They went to 16th, they went to Oak Park. And I know where the paper streets were. I know where the, you know, I've been around here long enough to know. I haven't lost my mind yet. And when we measured, I'm 1 foot and 5 inches off. That I don't have on my deed says 65 foot frontage. So to get that 65, I got to go to the west, Well, lucky, that's mine. But then that property has to go another 1.5 feet, 5 inches to the west, the corner lot. Now what happens when he doesn't have 65 feet? That's Street 16th. I'm not sure what to do about it, but I know there has to be records someplace. And I know the engineering today is scientifically, it's sound. Am I right or wrong? So, I don't have 65 feet. The second house doesn't have 65 feet frontage. Now, I want to build. As Mr. Ford told me, you know, we talked about this. When you don't have that extra foot, you're not going to get make a flag lot. And then the septic, well, the sewer from coming from the back is going to have a pump on it, pump it out, because it's low. Well, I know what happened several years ago next door to the east. They had a septic tank truck there, hauled it out for quite a long while. And that's fine, but someday if they have a problem, you know, boy, it'll be interesting. And you know what? This all reverts back to what I've said for the last few years. Damn poor planning.
Thank you, John. Any other public communication? Hearing none, we're going to adjourn this meeting and move into the Grover Beach Improvement Agency for March 17, 2003. We have a call to order and a roll call.
I guess.
Here.
Board Member
Lieberman.
Here.
Board Member Scholes.
Here.
Vice Chair
Santos. Here. Public communication. Once again, any member of the public may address the Improvement Agency for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the agency. The Improvement Agency will listen to all communication. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the agency cannot act on items not on the agenda. Seeing none, we'll move on to consent agenda items IA1 and IA2. Take those as a group. Minutes of the agency meeting of January 21st, 2003, and the basic financial statements of fiscal year 02. Financial statements. Any discussion or?
Do you want to pull
I want to pull that second one.
Okay. IA2. Okay, Dave.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve consent agenda item IA1.
I'll second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, Dave.
IA2, page 7 on this blue folder. About the third paragraph down, some bullet items there. About $504,000 in low and moderate income housing fund. Is that money that can only be used for low-income housing? Is that the how do we get that? It's, so it's supposed to be a 20%. Okay,
there's a 20% set aside from all tax increment revenues that are generated. When we went out and borrowed $2 million, the net of that was a little under $1.5 million, and 20% of that number went to the low and moderate income housing fund.
Correct, and 20% of the debt financing will also come from the low mod housing fund.
So to pay that debt, off, the tax increment, the 20% set aside for low and moderate income housing would be used to pay that debt off.
So out of that $504,000, we will be deducting a portion of our payback interest payments.
Correct.
And those interest payments now are $93,000 a year. Is that what I figured out here?
$93,000 in total, yes. And 20% will come from the low and moderate housing fund.
Are we paying that annually, or is this?
Every 6 months.
Okay.
It's part of the discussion that I have had with the council on a couple of occasions of the concept of whether our redevelopment program and our housing program is going to be an aggressive program or a reactive program. At this point, what we have are basically reactive projects identified. Somebody wants to come in and do something, and they want to sit down and talk to us, then we got lots of different options and lots of different ideas about what we might do. We don't have an aggressive program to go out and identify partners in implementing low and moderate income housing.
Well, I know that that particular funding isn't a way to return a lot of money to the city, but we've borrowed this money. It's sitting there. We're paying $93,000 a year interest payments on it. And in the year 2006, we have to refinance it. We need to be trying to get some of that money working so that we get more payments in so that we're refinancing that somehow. And so somewhere on our goals, we need to say, we borrowed this money for something. Mm-hmm. Let's not just let it sit there. And the faster we get moving on something, the faster that we will get a return on the increase in value that redevelopment is supposed to do. Unless we start spending it all on streets and sewers and things that don't bring us anything back.
I think Bob addressed that in some of his comments in the goals. Bob Mack.
Well, the reason I'm bringing it up here is that it's clear that the information is there's some money there. It's sitting there. We're paying this a set amount right here at 4.65% per year. And if we're not even, if we're being reactive, it's kind of expensive money. And our time is running.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, I guess, just that. I think we need to really get on the bandwagon. And here's a red flag saying that another year has gone by and
we haven't done anything. Right.
If we're going to be stewards of our city, we need to figure out how to get this money working for us. Thank you. That was my questions.
Any other questions, comments?
No, I just want to say I agree with you, Dave. How about that?
Were we earlier?
He was reading that book on team building.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept a consent agenda item IA2.
I'll second.
Motion and second. All in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Regular improvement agency business, item IA-3, mid-year budget review.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, in compliance with the Grover Beach Improvement Agency's financial policies, staff has prepared the fiscal year 03 mid-year budget review. Overall, the improvement agency's revenues and expenditures are being received as expected. One budget amendment.
No.
I don't think anybody in the audience has any questions, so I guess we'll bring it back for a motion.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the resolution amending the annual appropriation resolution.
Second.
Motion and second. Do we have a resolution?
Yeah.
Okay. Roll call vote.
Yes.
Board Member Shaw?
Yes.
Board Member Lieberman?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Sanchez?
Yes.
Chair Robinson?
Yes. Okay, at this time, I guess we'll adjourn the Grover Beach Improvement Agency and move into closed session on two items. One is a conference with legal counsel, existing litigation, termination of Todd Miller, pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.9, parentheses A, and item number two, conference with legal counsel, existing litigation pursuant to Government Code 54956.9, parentheses A, Jensen versus City of Grover Beach.
Take a brief recess. We're going to go next door.
Okay.
Strike.